This is the Inch Podcast, a production of InsideCollegeHockey.com. Now, let's send it to our podcast host, Joe Gladyszewski.
Hey, it's the Inch Podcast, summertime edition, recorded June 14th, 2009. I am Joe Gladyszewski, joined tonight by Inch staff members Nate Ewell. Hello, Nate.
Hey there, Joe.
How are you?
Terrific.
Happy summer.
We keeping you from something? Just saying.
All right.
Caught him in mid-book. Picked up that new Dean Koontz read.
We'll talk summer reading with Nate later.
Yeah. All right. Mike Eidelbiss is here. Your show, Mike. What do you have to say for us?
Guten Tag.
All right. Jess Myers joining us.
I want to wish everyone a happy Flag Day.
Barry Bonds.
Excuse me?
It's Flag Day.
Not in California.
Really?
Oh, Flag Day.
Never mind.
And also.
Would you like a Prescott?
James V. Dowd. Hello, James.
How's it going?
Going well. Well, you guys, let's talk a little college hockey. And let's start with the latest news from the college hockey front. Specifically, University of Nebraska Omaha hires Dean Blaze as head coach. Your thoughts on that hire? Bus.
We kind of really briefly, you know, mentioned this on Friday, just between, actually it was you and I, Gladdy. Just beyond Blaze's, obviously his resume speaks for itself. Every level that he's where he's coached, he's done an outstanding job. Getting through all that and UNO, whatever happens with them and as far as their conference affiliation from here on out, we don't know how that's going to play out. We hear obviously a lot of rumors. But the thing I think that I take away from this hire is that I'm not sure who the smartest guy in college hockey is, but Mike Kemp looks pretty good right about now. He started this program how many ever years ago it was. He coached for 12 years at Omaha, and obviously had a couple years before that when he laying the groundwork for the program, and certainly they had got off to a very successful start in the past few years. Things kind of stagnated there a little bit. Not a terrible hockey team, but I think clearly not playing to a level of expectation. In that athletic department and for the hockey fans at Nebraska Omaha, there's a regime change in the athletic department. Trev Alberts comes on as the athletic director. Mike Kemp, steps aside, and obviously he had a huge role in getting Dean Blaze as the head coach there. And, within the span of, 3-4 months, he's managed to completely rejuvenate and revitalize this program. Not just with Blaze, but now the speculation that, there might be a new conference affiliation as well, and I think we'll probably mention that. But, Mike Kemp looks pretty darn smart right now, and he was orchestrating obviously a lot of the stuff that was going on with the hockey program here in the past couple of months. It's a completely different program now.
Jess, a long time you've spent covering the WCHA and its member schools. What makes Dean Blaze a successful coach? What are his strongest attributes?
He's obviously a great recruiter. Quick history lesson. He was an assistant coach at North Dakota for many years in the 80s when they had those, I think it was 3 or 4 national championships in the 80s. He left there. He went to the high school ranks, actually, and won a high school championship in Minnesota with your Rams, by the way, Gladdy.
Awesome.
went from there, North Dakota in, I think it was 94 or 95, fired Gino Gasparini. They brought Blaze on to run the team. This is kind of hard to fathom now, but North Dakota was awful then. I mean, they went through a stretch where they were the last place team in the WCHA for a few years. And within, I think it was 3 years, Blaze had them in the Frozen Four, and they won the 97 National Championship. So, obviously, you know, kind of a quick turnaround reputation. And, Bust, you said he's been successful at every level. We wouldn't be fair if we didn't mention, you know, that he left North Dakota to go to the Columbus Blue Jackets, and that didn't turn out to be a good move. But, you know, like just this past year, he took over an expansion USHL team, the Fargo Force, and in their first year had them in the league championship. So he knows what he's doing, and he was anxious to get back into the college game. I think that's pretty obvious.
I think it's a good fit for both sides, and I'm sure it perked up the ears of the current upper echelon teams in the CCHA, you know, Michigan, Notre Dame, even Ohio State a little bit. You know, maybe this is a team that you could count on to be in that contention for fourth or fifth place, but now, you know, they might be a team that has their sights set on second or third or first place now. And Miami, obviously, Michigan State, those kinds of schools. So.
Yep.
Naming a few.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the one thing, and again, Jess, you can probably attest to this, having seen more of more Dean Blaze teams than any of us, I think the teams that he puts together, you know, probably play a little bit of a different style than what you normally see in the CCHA. They're probably going to be a little bit more physical than the average CCHA team. And, you know, I think they're going to go up and down a little bit more than CCHA teams in general. Blaze like to play that wide open style a little bit more than you know, the CCHA is a little bit more of a tighter type league in general.
Yeah. More of an end-to-end game. And, you know, one thing, you know, thinking back, and granted, it's been 5 years since he coached in the WCHA, but thinking back to Blaze's style, I mean, he had a reputation, fairly or not, for stockpiling, for bringing in a lot of guys, having a ton of players to choose from, reputation for being absolutely unsentimental. I mean, they would change goalies on a whim, innovative stuff that we hadn't seen before that, you know, now is maybe a little more common. The one great example everybody always holds up, 2001 National Championship game, North Dakota against Boston College. It's, I think, 5 minutes left. BC's up 2-0. With about 4.5 minutes left, Blaze pulls the goalie and says, you know, what do we got to lose? And they wind up tying the game and taking BC to overtime. I mean, that was just unheard of at the time and is still talked about by North Dakota fans. But, you know, that kind of stuff that you know, is maybe a little bit outside the norm and really brought a fun element to their games.
Well, the answer to that, Jess, when you said, what does he have to lose? And it was basically 5 feet, 2 inches of goalie is what he had.
Right. To lose. Right. Exactly.
So that's that. James, let's bring you in on this as CCHA writer. And we've talked about Dean Blaze. Let's talk about their personnel. What will he have to work with? What looks good on your mid-June scouting report capsule? What are the positives that Nebraska-Omaha brings back personnel-wise heading into next year?
You know, I just before I get into specific players and that, one thing that when you guys were talking about, you know, you talk about his past and that, and obviously you can educate me a little bit on that as I wasn't really around the WCHA and, you know, growing up in Michigan, it really wasn't on my radar at that time. But if you look at the team, in the few years leading up to last year, they had some success. Their identity was with guys like Bill Thomas and Scott Parse and Brian Marshall, for that matter, you know, guys who could score goals, and it was really centered around that top line and, you know, really offensive up-tempo kind of team. And not that I want to knock Mike Kemp, because I think, like you said, I think he did a great job there. Obviously, he built the program from nothing, but if you think about them from, you know, November, December on through all of last year, as a team that was looking for an identity. And so I think immediately you've got a team, a guy that can come in and help like provide them with some identity and some direction. So that's the biggest thing I see off of that. So as for personnel wise, I mean, they've got some good goaltending. I think they, you know, they've got a couple things in line. They had DuPont last year, and it's a thing that I know Mike Kemp always talked about, that Kaufman's now gone, but you know, DuPont's a guy who's had some playing time and who's doing that. And then you know, I guess, you know, it's kind of one to be seen. They were a team that really didn't have a whole lot of an offensive identity other than at Del Grosso last year, so we'll see.
Yeah, it'll be interesting, and that certainly shakes up the CCHA a little bit. Another coaching position vacant.
Before you go on, Gladdy, I want to throw one question out. You know, I mean, over the past couple of years, the Omaha program, obviously, you know, they've got a ton of stuff going for it. You know, great arena, USHL team right there in town, which you know, helps recruiting immensely. And again, you know, you look at the fact that Mike Kemp was there right from day one. Do you think that he realized that, you know, maybe it was just time for a new voice?
I think they've plateaued a little bit as a program. You know, they haven't really taken that next step. So
I would definitely agree with that. And you know, having been out and having sat in that arena, when they're playing well, it's a city that really gets behind them in that. And I think that's something that Mike Kemp saw, is they built up the interest. Like, they saw that college hockey could be sustainable in Omaha. And then it just got to the point where it was stagnant and it was stale. And once they ran out of that stockpile of dynamic forwards, that, you know, they needed somebody to come in and give a fresh, a fresh take on it. So I think the interest is there, and I think that you know, only good things can come out of it.
Yeah.
Fourth highest salary in the CCHA at $250,000 a year. I find that kind of interesting.
Really?
For a newbie. And the report I heard too is $250,000 a year, $125,000 of it from the school, and private sources are raising the other half. I mean, I guess to me that shows just what UNO hockey means to that community and to the businesses and the sports boosters in town there. That's an optimistic thing, I would think.
Yeah, that definitely shows commitment, no doubt about it.
I mean, what do you guys think about, like, a time frame? You know, what can we expect if this program is really going to take the next step? Is this something that we'll immediately see the difference, or is it something that will, it'll take time for him to build and get some of his own guys in there?
I think you'll see an early impact just from a fresh approach and re-energizing the program, but it's going to be 2 to 3 years before you start to see the difference in terms of talent, and I think that's probably also a good window to expect them to be in the mix for the national tournament. And then maybe another year after that before they win a game in the tournament or two.
Yeah, I would agree. I think you're looking at, you know, probably 3 years. I'm going back to when I'm actually looking up some looking at his, you know, how he started out at North Dakota. His first year, actually, let's go back. In 93-94 was Gino Gasparini's last season as coach. North Dakota was 11-23-4.
Wow.
Yeah, no. Wow. Next year is 94-95, Dean Blaze's first year. They go 18-18-3 and go from eighth and in the conference to a tie for fifth. So, then his next year, they go 19-18-1. That's in 95-96. They tie for fourth.
Yep.
And 96-97, 31-10-2. National champions, WCHA champions. And tied for first in the conference. So
he coached there for 10 years. He won 5 WCHA titles. That's wow.
Pretty good.
Yeah. Not a bad coach.
Not a bad coach at all.
The one thing to remember though with the recruiting now, you're looking at a different element where your elite players have been committed for 2 years out.
Yeah.
So it's going to take a little bit longer, I think, than, and obviously, I mean, this isn't any news to him. He was in the USHL last year, but it's going to be a little different adjustment period than it was in North Dakota.
That's a good point. That's a good point. What did you think, Nate, those late 90s and early part of this decade, those North Dakota teams, what were your impressions of those teams?
In general, big, tough defensemen and a lot of skill up front. And
yeah.
Really, really small goalies. Small, really small goalie. Tough teams to play against. You know, even the smaller guy, like think about Jason Blake, what he's like to play against.
Yeah.
But the defense was always just mammoth, it seemed like.
The Panzers were little guys, too, and they were just scrappy as all get out.
Yeah. Lundbombs.
The Hoogsteens, man. They always came in pairs that back then, it seemed like.
Yeah. Ryan Beta. You know, you go back and you look at some of their rosters, and, you know, I'm going down the list right now.
You got their books there, boss?
Yeah, I'm looking at their book, and some of the guys that they had, I mean, they had obviously some great players, you know, especially great college players. You look at guys like, you know, Lee Gorin.
Oh, yeah.
It was unbelievable in college. Panzer, you know, Ryan Beta.
Commodore.
Commodore, Travis Roche.
Travis Roche.
There's a name we haven't heard in a long time.
Old Brad Fave.
Yeah, he was great. He was almost as good as Noah Welch. Which is the highest honor I can bestow upon a hockey player.
Did he have a better pro career than Colin Hemingway?
Roche did, yes.
He was a pretty good AHL player.
He played in the American League for a long time.
He did play.
He was an American League All-Star. He was like first team all-league, all that stuff.
But, you know, getting back to their roster, I mean, good players, they had, you know, all those teams had, you know, at least at the beginning, toward the end, they got real... you know, they just started cleaning up as, you know, when you get Parisi and Bochenski and and Brady Murray and Stafford. But, you know, you look at his early teams, you had about, you know, you're looking at about, you know, 4 to 5 maybe real elite forwards. And then a lot of just good role-playing guys who can score, who can... you know, who play a physical game, just guys that are just terrible to play against, basically. You know, physical, talented guys will get, you know, ugly goals and, but still, you know, have fairly good amount of skill as well. I mean, it was, I think that's the thing that made them so good back in that era, is they had the top end guys, but then they had those third and fourth line guys who were, you know, who were bangers, but could still make you pay.
Well, those are, it's formula for good teams.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Any other North Dakota and or Omaha thoughts while we're here?
I guess I was reading a column that somebody at the World Herald wrote earlier today, and they made an interesting point that it was funny how closely this coincided with the College World Series and that, and how it's a pretty big weekend in Omaha, and so it's not normally something it's a town you're hearing a whole lot about nationally, and so it's a pretty cool weekend for them. So
that's a good point.
That's a great point. I thought the Friday afternoon announcement was a little curious, but
yeah, it's
maybe
it's
something to do with it.
That's a PR guy.
One thing I wanted to throw out, Joe, you asked about how long it's going to take, or, you know, what kind of turnaround we can expect. And I mean, to rebuild the North Dakota program, you know, looks like an easier thing to do maybe at the time, because we forget about how low that program had fallen. But, you know, the difference is at North Dakota, Dean Blaze could come in and, you know, I look at a guy like Taylor Chorney. Well, does he wind up at North Dakota if his dad hadn't played there in the 80s and, you know, it had won some national championships? You know, you were building on a reputation that had sunk. And that's something you don't have at Omaha, obviously. You don't have that second generation, and you don't have the history to fall back on and, you know, to show that this was a once proud program that we're going to rebuild. So it'll be interesting how he tackles that, or how, you know, even with 10, 12 years under their belts, how he kind of puts his stamp on the identity of what that program will become.
Well, it's a different pitch. You're building the first generation. That's, you know, and you're going to get kids from all over, and the landscape and the geography of college hockey and prospects has changed so much since then. Absolutely. You don't have to count on, you know, one junior league or one geographic region. You can get players from Texas, Florida, California, you know, Alberta, yeah, wherever. There's lots of guys out there.
You got to think, other than, you know, not knowing how much of Canada they'll go for, but the bulk of the kids will be USHL kids, and they've been through Omaha.
Yeah,
exactly. if you look down the list of their roster, I mean, it's all USHL, USHL, NHL, USHL. You know, you get a couple Ontario kids, but you know.
Well, traditionally, I guess thinking of Blaze's, you know, the kids he brought in at North Dakota. Traditionally, it was USHL kids and a lot of Western Canada kids. Well, you know,
Shattuck. Don't forget Shattuck.
Don't forget Shattuck. I don't see that changing a whole heck of a lot. I mean, it still sets up pretty much just, you know, that's where Blaze was strong and at North Dakota. And I think that, you know, that same geographic, those same geographic areas work real well for him at Omaha too.
Yep. Right. Well, good. We'll be watching closely, obviously. And, nice, interesting little twist. A good storyline headed into the upcoming 2009-10 season.
I think it's good for college hockey too. I mean, no question. To get a guy like that back in the game, who's, you know, reinvigorated. That, you know, only good things can happen.
Yeah. Mentioned earlier.
Look at what a disaster it was when they brought Jeff Jackson back. Oh no, wait, that worked out pretty well. Yeah, you're right. It's great for the game, obviously.
All right, here we go again.
Sorry, third time.
That's all right. Brown is another coaching vacancy that's open. Roger Grillo has left the Brown Bears to take on a position, a regional development position with the USA Hockey organization, national organization. Which means that the Bears are looking for a coach. They're in a much different situation than UNO, in the sense that they really don't have much to build on as far as returning personnel and tradition. They've been down for a while, so they've got some big strides that they've got to take. And that's even true of the other programs that in the ECAC especially, who have made coaching changes. I guess Princeton would be the most similar in the sense that they were as far down as they were once Guy Gadowski went in there to follow Len Cannell. But, you know, when Kevin Sneddon left Union, they were in pretty good shape. When Mark Mazzolini left Harvard, they were in pretty good shape. When Mark Morris left Clarkson, they had some pretty good teams and pretty good talent there. So this is a different situation, and there's a long way to go. One of the things that's going to be especially challenging for Brown is that all of the Ivies have really elevated their programs over the last 3 or 4 years. We saw this past spring, 3 Ivy League teams in the national tournament. Yale really came on. Princeton, of course, came on, and Cornell was there, of course. But Harvard has kind of slipped a little bit, but they're still very good, and Dartmouth's a pretty good team. So Brown's got to climb against those peer institutions as well as the rest of ECAC hockey. So there's a lot of work to be done there. Could be some energy. You know, they finished the season with, you know, as good a hockey as they played. They beat Harvard in the first round of the playoffs with back-to-back shutouts. They got a win and a tie against Quinnipiac and Colgate in late February during the regular season. So for that five-game stretch, and they had an overtime loss against Cornell. So, you know, they had the Big Red, you know, a couple minutes away from getting a point out of that game. So they were 3-1-1, you know, for that five-game stretch, which is really not bad, you know, with an overtime loss to Cornell before they lost to Yale in the league quarterfinals, which there's nothing to be ashamed of in that. So they got a lot to work on, and it starts with players. You got to get players there, and they just don't have very many good ones right now. Their leading returning scorer next year was a freshman defense. He'll be a sophomore named Jeff Bouvenau, and he had 17 points, 3 goals, and 14 assists. So they got to find some guys. But that's worth mentioning.
Would you say that, you know, the ray of hope is that the other Ivies, you know, looking specifically at the Ivies, that not only can you win at the Ivies, but you can also turn them around too. I mean, it's going to take the right guy to fit into that situation. And I have no idea who that is, but, you know, it can be done.
Yeah, it can. Their rink isn't very good. I struggle with that. And, you know, it depends on your academic admissions standards and financial aid packages as well. You know, let's be perfectly flat out honest about that. Those are things that Ivies have to face that a lot of other schools in the country don't have to deal with, or don't have to deal with as stringently, I should say. So, yeah, there's a long way to go there, but hopefully they'll get a guy who's an energetic person. You know, I think they're just going to need some energy there to start with. Similar to maybe what Tim Army's done at Providence and Greg Cronin at Northeastern. You know, those are guys that came in and they had to establish in the first place a hockey culture to their liking and then work from there. So they've
– I was just going to bring up Tim Army because that – lends a whole nother challenge is that there's
right across
a
town.
Team across town.
Yeah. So we'll see. We will see what goes on there. And that's that. It's been a while since our last podcast, which was Frozen Four time. In the time since then, we rolled out our 10 for 10 feature. To look ahead to the 2009-10 season. And, Bus, let's talk, I guess, a little bit about what we looked at for top five teams. We had Miami pegged as our preseason number one. Let's talk a little bit about that and why we like them so much.
Sure. Who did we have number one?
Miami.
I missed that. You're kind of. I think it was the techno portion of our broadcast or podcast, I should say. It was a little cutting in and out. Miami, yeah.
A lot of scoring. Goalies,
you know,
are back.
Good on. Yeah, goalies are back. Good on defense, and you know, if you remember back to the Frozen Four, I think that they're young defense. The younger defensemen impressed me. I thought they were pretty solid. And you know, the forwards, also, you know, the younger guys, you know, the Camper and Wingles and guys like that were, you know, all those guys are coming back. And the goalies obviously are both coming back, both were freshmen last year. At least we should say that we assume they're coming back.
Things can change,
but I think that I think the one thing that you know that sticks out for me with Miami is obviously They, you know, they lost in this national championship this past April, like no team we've ever seen lose, you know, in who knows how long.
Until Cornell lacrosse.
Well, there you go. Until Cornell lacrosse, exactly. In hockey, I should say.
Yeah.
College hockey. But, and I think they can go one of two directions. You know, it can either sink these guys or motivate them. And, I can't see it sinking them, you know. You know, I think it might be what they need to push them over the top. You know, it's a good talent, and they've got a motivator too. So that's what I like. I just like their returning set, and they've got that. They've got that motivation and that experience. Yeah. I mean, they were really, you know, you look at them when they were going in the tournament. I mean, they were a year ahead of where, you know, of where they were supposed to be.
Yeah. Denver's another team we had up there. Of course, you know, again, barring contracts being signed over the summer, Rakshani, Colburn, Rugseger, Weirkosh, Chevery, these guys are all coming back. And then you've got some other guys. Their talent might be as good as they've had in a long time, and they've obviously put out a lot of great players. How do you think they'll respond, Jess, after being a number one seed and losing in the first round?
Yeah, and losing kind of quietly too, which was the surprising thing for those of us who saw the way Denver ended the season. Not only, you know, losing in the WCHA Final Five title game to a Minnesota Duluth team that was on a nice run there, but they were pretty beat up at the end of the season. I've got to say that, especially on defense, and didn't really have a lot of punch toward the end there. So the summer and the health will work wonders. But as was noted in the 10 for next year that we looked at, defense is the big question. They've got that's where the holes are, the holes to fill. And we'll have to see what, you know, they can put together there and bring back or bring in on defense. Patrick Weirkosh is a great place to start if you're building a defense. What he did his first year was pretty amazing. So I like that team a lot. I think they're clearly one of the more talented teams in the WCHA. Of course, we've seen year in and year out how little that matters when the intangibles start to pile up. But no, that's a pretty good pick for the top team in this league.
Yeah, yeah.
We should probably mention too, and correct me if I'm wrong, I think both Colburn and Weirkosh were both invited to the Canadian World Junior Camp.
I believe they were.
Oh, for the summer camp?
Yeah.
Yep.
Good. Good deal. Just briefly on some ECAC, will he sign or won't he sign, flight risks? Looks like Riley Nash and David McIntyre both will be back at Cornell and Colgate for the upcoming year, which is good for college hockey and good for those two programs in particular. So just wanted to drop that time. Here's another thing we talked about and kind of throw this one out. How many teams this summer, and we mentioned Denver, we mentioned Miami, how many teams this summer are just kicking themselves? And how motivated are these off-season workouts about how their seasons ended? Whether it was a conference tournament loss, or being upset in the NCAA tournament, or the circumstances of the game they lost, you know, whether it was a bounce or a late lead that evaporated. I mean, I counted like 15 teams that have to be just like devastated, you know, about how their seasons ended.
I mean, as great of a tournament, just think of the national tournament, great of a event it was from a spectator's standpoint. If you had a stake in one of those teams that went out in that fashion, it hurt.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, you got Notre Dame, Denver, and Michigan, all number one seeds who lost.
New Hampshire.
You got UNH, puck goes in off the guy's glove. You got North Dakota, who had the lead against New Hampshire, and they lose in overtime. You know, Princeton let a lead get away against...
Up by two with 40 seconds left?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Minnesota Duluth was perfect at everything they did.
Really?
At the final five, and yeah, and at the regional, from what I read on Inch.
Wow. wow. Okay.
You know, Air Force loses it all the time.
Too bad we don't have editors. Oh.
Let's go back.
We did, believe me.
No, I was going to say Alex Stalock was perfect at everything he did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can't.
But
cut, print, done.
Or something like that.
Or something.
The who was the other one? Oh, Cornell, you know, they're going in favored against Bemidji State. They're tied, you know, heading to the third period. They lose that game. Northeastern, yeah, you know, Yale pretty much playing home games. They lose to Vermont.
Air Force
watch.
Air Force wants to check the net. The net integrity is their big thing.
Yeah, so it's crazy.
And then you think of the teams that didn't make it.
Oh yeah, yeah.
You got Minnesota, Wisconsin, Boston College.
Right. Lowell, that. Goal that may or may not have been a goal against BU in the Hockey East final.
Oh, sure.
You know, like, it's to me, that's one of the great storylines of the summer is...
Everybody is just going to come back.
Everyone's pissed.
They're going to be... It's just going to be bitter next year.
College hockey 0-10. Everyone's pissed.
Maybe that'll be our theme. Season coverage.
We'll just go ask everybody if they're pissed.
How pissed are you guys? No, it's not even that. Are you pissed? How pissed are you?
Exactly.
Well, I had to pick them fourth because there's three teams more pissed than them.
Coach calls beat writer, how could you pick us fourth? Well, you guys aren't pissed off enough. You got nothing to be pissed about compared to the other teams.
So, I was going to say, in the preseason rankings, do we go by who's the most pissed and then just go? So, theoretically, BU should be 58.
That should be. That's true.
They're pretty content.
That's true.
Hey, they could lose 50, a lot.
58 for the number of minutes they took off before they started playing in the championship game.
Did they ever burn those boats, by the way, in that big story?
Yeah, sweet.
That was good stuff. No, I think you could overplay the we're inspired by what happened last year thing, though. I mean,
I don't think it really has a ton of impact going into the next season, but it's just got to be a sour taste, you know. All summer.
Sidney Crosby begs to differ.
That's enough. Tournament didn't happen.
We're going to get to that.
It was vacated.
We're going to get to
influenza.
Yeah. Bird flu. Penguins.
Okay. No, I agree. I agree that once you get in the season, obviously... You know, it takes a different tack, but I mean, it is. It's obviously unique to note how many teams can make a case for letting things slip away from them this past season.
Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, how many teams had a position to you know, or were in the driver's seat, and then just you know, literally totaled the car.
Yeah, it's kind of a cool storyline, I think. I mean, so we'll see. We'll see what happens. You know, it's something came to me, kind of realization over the summer. All right, let's get into some deterioration.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's nothing else to talk about in college hockey. Nobody's playing this weekend.
The draft is coming up.
Pick'em is closed.
Finally. We're gonna have a you pick'em though.
The draft used to be.
Yeah, remember when college kids got drafted in the draft?
Yeah, exactly. That to me is the thing that. I don't know. We'll see. It'll be all right.
Schrader will get picked.
Schrader will get picked highly.
That's probably about it for.
It's fun to see guys coming in.
What's the kid coming into Denver? He's pretty highly.
Drew Shore, I believe.
Yeah.
I did take a glance, like a couple weeks ago when the Hockey News draft guide came, and the exact thing went through my head. It's like, I guess college guys don't get picked anymore.
Yeah. Well, they get picked before they go to college.
True.
Which is.
Although, you know, we mentioned Miami's goalies. That's one thing that you know, is somewhat interesting to note is that both Kieran Milan from Boston University and Connor Knapp from Miami are draft eligible this year. In fact, I think in the CSS North American goalie rankings, they are back to back. You know, one is 8 and one is 9 or something like that. But, so, you know, there's definitely some guys in there. Just not the real, we don't see the real high profile guys anymore.
Yeah.
You know, Schrader's about it for this year.
Yeah, it's not like DiPietro's going number one or those kinds of situations anymore.
No.
So, Jack Johnson, he was drafted before he got to Michigan, right?
Yep. Yeah, that was the summer before he was drafted.
Right. So, that's the more common story, but it gets us something to...
What about Al Montoya? Was he was... I think he was there while he was in Michigan.
1 year at Michigan before.
Yes, because he won that. World Junior that year.
Yeah, you're right. Yep.
Well, he and others. There were more than.
That team was fair.
Yeah, that team was fair.
They're all right.
In fact, I was just thinking about that team today. You know, Parisi obviously was on that team. Was David Booth on that team?
Don't know.
I think he was.
I think he was too.
Because Steven Werner was on that team. I know those two are buddies.
Yeah, they were good. Drew Stafford was on that team.
Yeah, he's fairly talented.
He's a good player. Good player. James, you saw some Chicago Blackhawks home games. During the Stanley Cup playoffs, their run to the Western Conference Finals.
Yeah.
Chicago was a city that we also mentioned for a possible future Frozen Four site. Because we, under the assumption that the Frozen Four has outgrown Milwaukee, and could we get a Notre Dame, Wisconsin, CCHA bid to host in Chicago? What would you think of that?
I think it would be great. I think Chicago's still maturing back into a hockey city. You know, some of the comments you heard from some of the quote-unquote diehard fans in the stands during those games were a little inane. But, you know, I think obviously there's a lot of hockey played in the area. You know, you've got the Steel, you've got the Chicago Wolves. You've got some good youth hockey and high school hockey around here. And as Notre Dame starts to build up and they've got a good alumni base, you know, it's proximity to the other CCHA schools and to the, you know, it's a somewhere you could come. It's accessible from Minnesota and even North Dakota. I think it's you got O'Hare Airport. I think it's a perfect venue for it. So it's something I'd definitely like to see.
Yeah, I'd be down with that.
We know you were down in Washington, D.C.
I was down with that for sure. It was great Frozen. Great Frozen. I'd express my how down I was with it. Well, you know what? Again, we haven't done a podcast since then. What we've generally our rule of thumb in rating Frozen Four sites over the last, 7 years that we've been doing this, and before, and having attended them before Inch, pre-Inch. Would we go back there for Frozen? I say Washington, absolutely. Would go back. Thought it was good.
Great arena.
I was not in support of DC's bid when the current bids were announced. I didn't think it would work, but I was wrong. And I think other circumstances around DC hockey might have helped. Some guy, number 8, he's pretty good.
So, he's all right.
Cal Ripken. Who's number 8 on the Nats? Anybody?
Steve Young.
Anybody?
The Nationals.
The Nationals.
Christian Guzman.
Get Steins on the Twitter. Let's go.
Yeah.
didn't BU win more games in that weekend than the Nationals have won this year?
Wow. Hey, I just pulled up. I pulled up the 7th found on a cocktail napkin we ever did.
Okay.
Eight sites where we want Frozen Forest to be, and Chicago was first.
Oh, that's
good. So we've been on this bandwagon for a while.
We have. And I was on the Tampa bandwagon for a Frozen site, and I'm looking forward to 2012.
Where else did we have on that napkin, Nate, just out of curiosity?
Vegas, Wembley Stadium.
Yeah, Wembley Stadium.
O2 Arena.
Madison.
Madison, yeah, that'll happen. Yeah, Bramble.
Lake Placid.
Okay. We're nostalgic. I don't know
where this came from. Indianapolis?
Indianapolis.
That's where the NCAA is located.
We put that on the list this year.
Yeah, we did.
Kansas City. We put Kansas City on this year.
Well, didn't we put Indy, though, too?
I don't think so.
I think Indy will happen. I think Kansas City is going to happen. That's almost... I think that's a layup, to be honest with you. Or a empty netter, I guess.
Yeah. Don't make sure you have force.
I think Indy could happen.
Why?
That was my question.
Yeah, I don't see
it. Well, you've got a pretty good college hockey program now in the state of Indiana.
They've got Chicago.
They've got a good rink.
They got a basketball rink.
Yeah, but so? They have ice-making capability.
For what
team?
For the Indianapolis Ice.
Gretzky played there.
Yeah.
There you go. What more do you need?
Brett Gretzky.
Keith Gretzky.
How about Glendale?
Janet Gretzky played there, didn't she?
No, she just, she took the under.
Ba-dum-bum-cha.
Why wouldn't Indianapolis happen?
Hey, we had Denver on this list, by the way. We had Denver on this list we made in 2002.
That's visionaries. Cool. We were visionaries.
Did we have St. Louis?
We were 1-for-8.
No. Were we? What else was on there?
We had Toronto, Las Vegas, San Jose.
Yeah, these weren't predictions of where they would go. Where would we like to go? It's like, where would we want to go to vacation and hope maybe the Frozen's there?
Hey, Toronto would be great.
Toronto would be great.
How about Vancouver?
I don't know. Never been.
Tough to beat Vancouver.
It's too far west.
Yeah, there's
But it's,
no...
the great, it's the greatest city in North America.
I don't know about that.
What would you take over Vancouver?
Denver.
No. No.
Vancouver's better. Vancouver's got water.
Because it's got water? Yeah, okay. Yep. Fair enough.
Buffalo?
Nope.com.
Man. Well, Buffalo's got water. You got that.
Got water.
It's mostly in my hotel room, but no.
It's flammable.
Buffalo is nice. It's nice frozen.
Yeah, Buffalo is great. Even the football team there wants to go to Toronto, but.
All right.
If so that Bills, was a, that... If the Bills move to Toronto, does Buffalo get the Argonauts? Do we know?
They get the Fighting Balsillies.
What do you guys think of that whole mess with the Coyotes?
Go back to Winnipeg.
What do you think about that?
I know what Jeff thinks.
You're smarter than all of us combined.
It'll be interesting to see what happens. I actually signed
Thank
up
you for that terrific analysis.
It could go either way.
Well, I signed up for makeit7.ca.
Yeah, I was going to say the emails are amusing some
They're
days.
Awesome.
It'll be interesting to see if Reinsdorf takes over them.
Do.
That would be he's a baseball and a basketball guy. He runs the White Sox and I live on the north side, so I don't know. It just give it to the hockey guy, you know? Or the guy who thinks he knows hockey.
I say give it to the guy who's put a bid in. A solid bid and not an exploratory bid.
That's novel.
Yeah. Hamilton Coyotes.
That's not going to help the Sabres.
No.
Just too bad, because that's a pretty strong market. One of the, you know, despite its low population relative to other NHL, you know, markets, one of the most impressive numbers that I see throughout the season is what the local, you know, TV markets ratings are for like Sunday NBC games or whatever. And even if the Sabres aren't playing, Buffalo is one of the highest.
Yep. Buffalo's looks great.
Those people are watching hockey. You know, even if it's the Red Wings and Avalanche or, you know, Rangers and Penguins, that, you know, they're tuned in Buffalo. And that to me is pretty telling.
It's Buffalo and Pittsburgh are typically the top two week in and week out.
Yeah.
And I know Canada probably deserves another team. I'm just not sold that it's Hamilton.
Oh, I agree with that. I agree with that.
Yeah.
I mean,
but it is the next biggest city that doesn't have a team. And it's bigger than Calgary and Edmonton.
I keep waiting for Jess to come back in with the move them back to Winnipeg.
I said it already. I've made my point clear.
He's going to start spelling Winnipeg.
They had to take my favorite team out of Canada because they were only drawing 13,000 a game and put them in the desert where they draw 7,000. So,
but your family also lives there.
I'm embittered.
They should name it after you.
Name what after me exactly?
The new location of the team. I mean, you grew up near Winnipeg and now your parents are in Arizona.
Well, part-time. They're snowbirds.
Well,
so when they have Arizona so plates, the hockey team. Yeah, that's true. That's true.
All right, back to Cranbrook.
Cranbrook.
I guess the Hamilton market. I mean, Hamilton's not exactly...
Now, is it Hamilton or is it some kind of goofy thing where they put it like in Kitchener or someplace like that to draw the suburbs and Hamilton and London and
they're talking about Hamilton because it's
they got a rink.
Cops Coliseum.
They play in Cops Coliseum.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think London would be a better fit, but they don't have a rink.
Right.
Well, I was thinking about that, like London or Kitchener Waterloo as well, you know. But yeah. There's not a rink there big enough. But
yeah. And London, you know, with the time change and you know people driving on the wrong side of the road. It could get extremely confusing.
You'd need a Stockholm division, you know, Prague. No.
Bangers and mash.
Excuse me?
Exactly.
17-3
is what Cops Coliseum seats for ice hockey, according to Wikipedia. So, yeah, that would work.
Yeah, it'd be fine. Until they build a new rink, which they probably will.
Now, no, they're going to
upgrade that.
Oh, they're going to renovate the cops?
Yep.
I was in there for some American action.
Actually, isn't Research in Motion Vasily's company? I'm pretty sure is in Waterloo.
Yes.
So that was I was trying to think why I'm in that area. But yeah.
I mean, that's a big.
Does he have to have actual assets and collateral to buy the team, or is he can just like say to hell with it? You can have a team.
Oh.
Never mind.
So, okay, let's think about this. Which NHL team gets sent to the West, then, if that team moves to Hamilton? Because you'd obviously have them in the East playing with Toronto in the same division, and Buffalo, etc. So who do you send West? Atlanta?
Columbus, or Columbus. Has to be Columbus.
Columbus is in the West.
Columbus is in the West, yeah.
Yeah, there was Chicago.
Well, then that changes things.
Pittsburgh?
Hamilton, they're still the farthest west.
Yeah.
I bet they'd send Atlanta. I don't know why. It just seemed like, you know, like the Braves played in the West for all those years and the Falcons were in with the 49ers for all those years. So
that was awesome.
Yeah. Pittsburgh.
How many games did I watch against the Padres and Astros when I was a kid? On the Superstation. Tons.
I do miss the Superstation Braves games.
Not as much as me, man. Not as much.
They had Yankees and Mets on today. Didn't see that coming.
I'm surprised it wasn't the Sunday night game. I couldn't believe it. And then, if not that, the Phillies and Red Sox. But hello, tribe.
Hi, how are you?
Speaking of,
put the teepee back in left field. Those are some great days.
Yeah. Now that I don't have the Superstation, like I can watch the Yankees and Mets every single night here, and now they put them on TBS, which is just like putting sand in my wound. So I drove 6 hours to go watch the Braves.
We've come full circle to North Dakota.
Yeah, Deep Blaze said that, didn't he? Yeah.
I was at that game. Nate Kirby had a hat trick.
Anyway, so you went to a baseball game? And
I went to see two baseball games. I got to hit the road now to see the Braves. It's brutal. Especially when they play awful.
Did they used to play in Ithaca? I mean, what's different?
Oh, they used to play on the Superstation, Jess.
Oh, I gotcha.
Oh, right. And they've always played outdoors, which is always nice. Outdoor baseball.
We've got like 52 games left of indoor baseball here in Minnesota. Stop by.
Oh, yep. Yeah.
Game guaranteed. Don't worry about the weather.
Right. Yeah. Feel free to sit on the third baseline and look into center field.
That's right.
it's great. In the post-game show today, after the White Sox and Brewers game, yep. Said Miller Park in Milwaukee has a retractable roof. And the poll question was, "What do you think they should put a retractable roof on U.S. Cellular Field?" And 68% of people said yes. It's like, don't think that's going to happen anytime soon.
The thing is, like, straight up in the air.
Right, I know.
I think that was more...
I like that park. I don't get me wrong. I do like that park.
Yeah.
I don't think that was weather-related. I think that was related to gunfire, but...
gun plague.
Yeah, it's only 35th Street. You got to get to 42nd before you worry about it.
Gotcha.
Oh, that's good to know.
Yeah, if there is a Frozen Four in Chicago... Stick to downtown in the north.
Right.
Will you redline a map for us?
Yeah. Host, James V. Dowd. Jess, what do you got in store for us for 2011 in the Twin Cities?
It's really not that much different than when you were here in 2002. There's a few more bars and restaurants, but...
All the bridges still there? No.
Oh, wow. too soon.
Yeah.
Do you have any David Carradine jokes you want to throw out while you're at it?
We got a brand
Come
new
on,
bridge.
It's a bridge.
We had a brand new bridge now to replace that one.
Oh, good. You go first.
We're going to have outdoor college football. We're going to have outdoor baseball. Man.
The times, no, they are a-changing.
You're going to have the Gophers.
Okay, you're right. You got us there.
It's different.
Yeah. No, it's amazing how excited people are for the new Gopher football stadium, which opens this fall, and, you know, 50,000 seats. It's a beautiful place. And I keep dampening people's, you know, high expectations by saying, yeah. And on November 14th, when they're getting beat by Wisconsin, it'll be, boy, they still suck. It's just much colder now.
Yeah. Yeah, they're 50,000, huh?
Yeah.
That's not very big.
They built it so it's expandable.
Oh, well, they can go to
80,000.
Just like your pants.
Right, exactly. There's an elastic element to this.
Is it Sansibel Stadium?
That's right.
No,
it looks like a nice place, and who knows, maybe it'll help turn around the program. I mean, you look at places like Louisville and Connecticut, you know, where they've built new stadiums, it really has made a difference in recruiting and that kind of stuff. But
yeah, we'll see.
I'm not making Rose Bowl plans or anything.
I am.
Yeah.
I am not.
No, you're not.
I think it'll be a few years before my guys are back there.
Yeah. I don't think the Rose Bowl fits into your guys' system.
Anyway, that's pretty funny.
Okay, Nate, I got to ask you a question. We mentioned lacrosse briefly. We mentioned Denver briefly. How does Princeton's lacrosse coach wind up going to the University of Denver?
It's too soon, Jess. It's too soon.
Too soon.
Too soon?
Too soon. Let's not.
But feel free to talk about a bridge collapsing.
That was five years ago, and it was a bridge.
It was 2 years ago, and 13 people died.
Oh, come on.
Well, they did. I'm sorry.
All right.
So is this a source of some bitterness, I take it? Okay.
Nope. Not disappointment, right?
Disappointment is a good word. Think of...
I've heard you talk about this guy, you know. You actually took me to one of his games. I mean, he was like your personal savior. What's going on?
Yeah, he's a little bit of a second father. I'm trying to think of a good comparison here. If Jerry York went to Robert Morris.
Okay.
Only a
prettier Morris. Robert Morris.
Yeah.
Played or not that many people played hockey, and I don't know. Denver will be very, very good very, very quickly. It won't take as long for Denver to win a national championship that it will for Dean Blaze.
Interesting.
I don't know about that.
All right, whatever.
That sounds like a wagerable proposition.
Please,
it's one of the options tied for zero in 50 years? Denver and Nebraska, Omaha?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah,
it's not one of the options?
50
years. No.
That's the option I'd pick.
So would that be a futures bet, Cuddy?
Yeah.
50 years out.
Is that a parlay?
No. Well, if there's two teams, that would be parlay. Yeah, I would parlay them. Parlay them both on the nope. I'll take the nope.
Sliding your chips to the nope square.
Exactly. It's in a similar situation, and Dean Blaze, obviously decorated coach, did a lot of things. Bill Tierney, amazing achievements and lacrosse theory, philosophy, changed a lot of the way the game is defended in particular. But what? Matter how good they get at Nebraska, Omaha, and Denver, Nebraska, Omaha is still going to have to deal with Michigan and Minnesota and BC and, you know, all the traditional powers. And no matter how good Denver gets, they're going to have to deal with Syracuse and Hopkins and Virginia and, you know, those kinds of programs. So I think that is the bigger hurdle. Can you get to the, you know, Final Four or Frozen Four? Sure. Can you win two games when you're there? Sure. Is it likely to happen? Not so much. That's where I stand on it.
I think lacrosse is a little bit of a different story too, because you're still in a growth period, and especially going to a place that's really fresh to lacrosse people. I mean,
they're already playing there.
They've played for a long time, but a kid at Landon has never looked there to go there. A kid that plays at Georgetown Prep, the kids that play at the on Long Island have never thought, maybe I'll go to Denver.
Well,
not the good ones. Now they will.
Yeah.
No, it was mostly the pot smokers.
Speaking of pot smokers, I was listening to the Indians game tonight on the Cleveland Radio Network. They're like customer service line, you know, for group sales tickets and sign up for the Indians golf outing and stuff. Their phone number is 420 hits. Like, I don't think you could do that. Oh, 420 hits is what they kept saying. I was like, huh. I see how this is.
Okay.
Go try. Peace pipe.
Jeff Howe's not here, so
yeah.
The racially questionable material tonight will be coming from
his understudy
and mentor.
Wow.
Anyway, no, I'm just saying that was the phone number.
Good times.
So there you go.
Good times.
You want to talk about the Stanley Cup playoffs, anybody?
How would you like to be Marian Hossa right now?
I'd love it.
Oops. Well, yeah. Besides the
summer, play hockey for a living.
Well, let's pretend that
he cared about winning.
I live in Minnesota. I have nothing to add to a discussion about the Stanley Cup playoffs.
You didn't look like you cared about winning.
Yeah, I'm no kidding.
He played all 7 games.
Barely.
Yeah. He didn't quit on his teammates.
I heard he played the third period of the game 7.
Shake everybody's hand?
Yeah.
Everyone who was there to be shaken.
I mean, honestly, though, like, not shaking Nicholas Lidstrom's hand? Nicholas Lidstrom, of all people, what did he ever do to anybody?
You know, and Draper.
Yeah. Draper was furious.
He's the guy who called it all out.
Yeah, I know.
Obviously, people are realizing we're talking about Sidney Crosby. And you know what, in thinking about this, my only reaction I kept coming back to is anybody surprised? Is anybody surprised he didn't, you know, gut it out for the last 30 minutes of that game? Is anybody surprised that he was the guy who was like, oh, geez, sorry, didn't realize... this is the first time we've ever done this, whatever. He had freaking an hour and a half to watch the game and figure out what he's going to do if he wins the cup.
And it's not like he's never watched a cup final before.
He was there last year.
Right.
You know? And how did Detroit handle it?
I imagine a lot better.
In their
than
building,
that.
You know? It's like, whatever. Whatever.
Yeah, that was a bit of a head scratcher. He sure looked awfully spry when the horn sounded. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
Yeah. But then, you know, they showed a close up of him and Babcock, and Babcock said, "Oh, you know, that's great leadership or whatever." And Crosby's just like, "Eh." It's like, you know, like all the fuss about LeBron James, you know, it's like, you know, I guess you can be a poor sport as a winner too.
Yeah.
I forgot. I'm the only one who even remotely follows the NBA. So
you know, I gotta fess up.
That's wrong.
Admit,
I have to fess up too.
I watched more playoffs than I ever, well, not that I ever have before, but I paid attention to who was winning at least and watched like the last 3 minutes of games and more of LeBron because he's freaking ridiculous.
LeBron James is unbelievable.
So
yeah, that shot he made, what game was that? Game two against the Magic?
Oh, the Magic.
The end of that game was just ridiculous.
Yeah, that was pretty solid. Pretty solid. But, yeah, it's the most NBA playoffs I've watched since the hockey lockout when they didn't have playoffs. So, but yeah, it was all right. They're over now. Don't care. But I honestly watched more baseball than I did the last, two rounds of the NHL playoffs. So,
Gladia, I gotta give you props. You had a great thing on your Facebook page a couple days ago about. Headline says, Leaf wanted on drug charges. You automatically think, which one?
Yeah.
That was outstanding.
That's what I thought. I'm like, oh, geez, who's in trouble on the Leafs? It's like, former college quarterback Ryan Leaf. I'm like, oh, this guy, what a loser.
I thought the same thing. I thought the exact same thing.
Yeah.
Isn't he coaching, like, some tiny school?
Yeah, some community college in Texas.
Not anymore.
He's calling
the Indians for tickets.
He's breaking rocks with Todd Marinovich.
The best part of one of my stories has ever received. Student newspaper, I wrote something about a player being drafted by the Toronto Maple Leafs. Editor changed it to Maple Leaves, LEAVS.
Yeah.
Good work. Got that one.
One of my buddy's old girlfriends used to annoy the heck out of her. It's like, why are they the Leafs? That's not right. It's supposed to be the Leaves. Everyone's like, shut up. You're going to be dumped soon. I know how this relationship's going to end. So good.
Florida Marlins is that way. It's grammatically incorrect. The plural of Marlin is Marlin. Like, it's like deer. You don't add an S to it. But
so is the Minnesota Wild. They should be the Wilds.
See, that's the Minnesota Wild is just goofy. You're not going to catch me defending that.
And the Orlando Magics.
Goofiest name in sports. You know, the logo's cool. I like the colors, but
oh, brutal. Brutal. The colors.
Where did the Minnesota Wild come from? Like, what was the inspiration for that?
It was just a name the team contest gone horribly awry.
Fourth graders name the team.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. I do remember that.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I think we should be done with non-plural nicknames in general. Just, I mean, you know, if you're the Utah Jazz or whatever, you can stay, but no more. Let's just go back to
the somethings. We've worked through the teal trend in expansion teams. I think we can pass on that as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would agree.
What about...
Somebody needs to get the San Jose Sharks on the horn.
They're all right. They were like first. I'm down with that.
No.
Yeah, they were.
No, I know they were first, but I say no.
I say yes. They only play 86 games a year anyway. Leave them alone.
86. It was 88 this year, maybe.
They're another one of those teams, much like Miami of Ohio. They're pumped for next year. Perpetually.
I guess.
Perpetually. Next year.
I know how that song
is. It's always next year.
Yeah, be good. Anybody have any exciting upcoming summer vacation plans?
Boston? Should we go around the room?
Yeah, we'll start James V. Dowd. Any destinations, either bland or exotic?
Nothing in particular. I got a wedding to go to later this summer, but that's in Michigan, so
that's awesome.
Yeah, just hanging out, watching baseball.
That's cool. Do you have a ticket package for the White Sox or Cubs?
I don't. I go to the Cubs. I don't have a particularly like form package. I usually go to a dozen or so Cubs games a year, and then go down to the White Sox when Detroit's in town, and maybe when Boston or New York's here.
That's nice.
Yeah. They got a nice park down there.
I don't mind that place at all. That
you're not going to see Joe Mauer?
Ah, well,
is he still hitting 415 or something?
413 as of today. Went 3-for-3 today.
I was gonna say, yeah, he went 3-for-3 today.
He's fairly good at baseball.
He rakes city.
He's on
Orioles mega prospect switch hitting catcher Matt Wieters has 48 major league at bats and 0 home runs and 0 RBIs. Still a lot of Wieters 15 jersey tees in the crowd at the Camden Yards.
There's the guy, the White Sox, one of their top prospects they brought up, named Gordon Beckham, about a week and a half ago. And these guys on sports radio in the morning when I was on my way to work were just livid because they kept giving him a standing ovation like every time he came up to bat. He didn't get a hit for like 15 at bats or something like that. They're just like, what? He grounded out to second base. And, why are you giving him a standing ovation?
He's saving the franchise. Leave him alone.
But it will be fun to see what happens with the White Sox if they fall a little bit further out, because obviously Ozzie is perpetually entertaining, and then they've got a general manager who seems willing to make some moves. So,
Jess, you got anything on the horizon?
I'm going to be, speaking of Indianapolis, I'm going to Indy in July to my first NASCAR event.
The old Brickyard 400?
Going to the Brickyard 400.
It's nice.
Flying into Chicago and then driving the last 3 hours or whatever, and we're actually going to catch a game at Wrigley, too. So.
Oh, delightful.
Well, little multi-sport journey. Should be fun.
That's nice.
Yeah, plus, I hope so.
Maybe you can stop at Colts training camp.
Is that still in Anderson, Indiana?
I don't know where it is.
Okay.
I think it might be in Terre Haute.
Terre Haute, maybe. Ball State?
No.
No? David Letterman Stadium? Ball State University?
That's Muncie.
Muncie.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Get your MAC schools right.
Terre Haute is in Indiana State, right?
There you go. Is that Terre Haute?
Yeah.
Okay.
Cool. Yes, it is.
You're going out west, right?
Yes, I am. On July 4, I'm going to beautiful Whistler, British Columbia.
Oh, that's a little late.
For a week.
Nice place.
Yes, it is.
I've heard. Never
been. It's fantastic. Haven't been there in, I want to say 3 years.
Didn't you see Jessica Simpson there once?
Yes, I saw her in Vancouver. On the street, not in concert. On the street.
Okay, boss. Breakfast. Whatever.
Yeah.
And I called Nate. First call I called was Nate.
Yep.
Actually, I didn't notice her at first. I noticed her bodyguard because he was wearing this sweet Walter Payton throwback. I'm like, oh my God, check out that guy's Walter Payton throwback. And then my sister-in-law was like, hey, that's Jessica Simpson. I'm like, sure. Yeah. Yeah, she's pretty spectacular.
Your wife was there, so you pretended not to care?
She wouldn't take any pictures. She's trying to buy his shoes. I don't know if that was a euphemism or not, but...
No, I don't know.
But yeah, going back to Whistler, and going to miss Canada Day, but, you know, what are you going to do?
Is that where they're doing the Olympic skiing next winter?
Yes, yes. Whistler?
Cool.
Yes.
If they had a team there, would they be called the Blowers?
The Whistler Blowers.
No, I think they'd be called the Mothers.
Whistler's mother. Good, good, very, good.
I went to the art museum, too.
Nate, are you going to the Winter Olympics again?
I'm not.
You're not?
I'm officially not. Very breaking, sad.
Breaking a streak of, what, two in a row that you've gone to?
2 in a row. 8 years.
Salt Lake, yeah.
That didn't have Olympics.
Huh. Do you need somebody to fill that spot?
Possibly.
That's what she said.
Yeah, I guess it's late enough in the podcast. Really. The kids are in bed.
I'm looking forward to the 2010-11 World Juniors here in Western New York. That'll be good.
That will be good.
Next year is in Saskatchewan.
Yeah, I was afraid. Well, what is Saskatchewan?
I think they should keep it in North America.
So the North American?
Not that I'm ever going. But yeah, I might, you know what? I might try to get to that Buffalo one a little bit. I think I got to see this at least once.
It's a good event.
Did you go in Grand Forks?
I saw a couple games in Grand Forks. That was the
Ovechkin's year.
That was Ovechkin's year, and that was the Sidney Crosby Team Canada. And the Al Montoya Team USA that everybody talks about in the same breath. No. But no, it's a great event. Good fan base. You know, Grand Forks was close enough to Winnipeg and Saskatchewan that there were a ton of Canadian fans there, and good hockey. Good event.
Yeah, it is. It's something I've followed, you know, from afar, from television, internet, and stuff for 10 years. I'm looking forward to seeing it.
And coming full circle, Dean Blaze is coaching the World Junior team this year.
That's true.
That's right.
How about that?
He was supposed to coach the team in 05, remember? And then he
That was the
out.
Longest segue we've ever had.
Just like we mapped it out.
Yeah. Well, on that note,
we'll wind up right back here.
Let's wrap this then. We won't fall into this great fortune ever again. I mean, we did it on purpose. for James Dowd, Nate Ewell, Jess Myers, and Mike Eidelbus, and this has been the InsideCollegeHockey.com podcast. I am Joe Gladyszewski, and check out Inch throughout the summer for draft coverage. Of course, Inch A to Z, and before you know it, we'll be right back into the 2009-10 season. Thanks for listening to the Inch podcast.